The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio. Good evening, Peter. How are you today?
I am comfortable today. That's how I am. Comfortable. How are you?
You never said that before.
No, I'd see why. It's because I have a day off, so I am spending the day in a tracksuit.
Oh, you got a day off. Fucking hell. Pete Wicks has actually taken time for himself. Fucking hell. Are you okay? Are you poorly?
No, do you know what? I don't know what to do with myself.
I just miss you when we skip a week.
It's not nice, is it? Are you coming back yet? No.
No, I'll be back at some point. I'm just working on my tan. So you see, I can't come back pasty.
How much longer do you need to work on a fucking tan?
For anyone that's just joined, this is The Dating Show. This is where Pete tells me off for still being in Bali. And
She deserted me. She deserted us all. Really?
Listen, jealousy is not a good trait. I know you want to be as dark as me, but you can still keep slapping on the fake tan. And maybe at some point you will look less orange.
Do I look orange?
No, a little bit.
Do I?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, shit. Do you know what? I don't actually, I don't fake tan. Do you know what it is? I shouldn't say this, but either way. I sunbed, but I don't have that many. But when I go on a sunbed, I go a slightly weird colour. Whereas if I'm in actual real sun, I go a nice colour.
You need to come to Bali. It always comes back to the same thing. Come to Bali. I'll stay longer if you come.
Yeah, but haven't you just moved to a new place because you were getting too drunk in Bali? So, welcome to The Dating Show.
Yes.
So this week we've got all the usual stuff, weird and wonderful dating news, listeners' questions and stories. We've also got, what's our topic this week? Support.
Support. So it's going to be a good one.
Abby Quinnan, who is AJ.
AJ.
From Strictly's partner. She's also a dancer, so she's going to be talking to us about support and her story. But before we do all the kind of, you know, support stuff and all the sensible shit, should we have some fun?
Have some fun. Let's do it. Are you going to blow my mind this week?
This is an interesting one this week.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready for your sext book.
This week on the Dating Sext Book with Pete Wicks. The Slurpee.
Oh, I've gone low again.
I can guarantee you it's not as low as this.
Really? Is it anything to do with...
I don't quite understand how this one works myself.
Oh, so we've got... Pete's never done it before. Fuck.
I haven't... Listen, can I just point out for anyone that has been listening to this for a long period of time, each week I do the Dating Sext Book, these are not all things that I've done.
He's lying. He's absolutely lying.
I have done the majority of them, but they're not all things I've done because some of them are...
Fucking fucked. Disgusting. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay,
fucked.
Before I lose my job, why don't you tell me what Slurpee is?
The Slurpee.
The Slurpee. Right? Oh, this is really gross.
The Slurpee.
It really makes you feel sick.
Now, think how much this is. There's a lot of technical ability that goes into this.
Oh, I think I'm guessed it. Go on.
Go on.
No, I can't because I'll lose my job.
During intercourse, right before the girl climaxes, you whip out a straw and put it into her vagina. Once the straw is tightly shoved in, you start masturbating until you can perform a money shot into the straw, which funnels into her vagina.
What the fuck?
The Slurpee.
So hang on, let me just get it right and let's put it into my language. So you're having sex, just before the girl comes, you grab a quick straw, you shove it in, even though it's not going to be tightly fitted because the straw is obviously smaller than a willy, and then the man just keeps going, like, wow, for some.
Well...
Okay, well, I take that back. I've never experienced it. So, and then the guy starts masturbating and then hopes that when he ejaculates, it just aims into the straw. It's got to be a big fucking straw, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, presumably. I mean, if I was going to do this, then I would get some sort of funnel that gives you a bigger area.
I can't
area.
See your beautiful face. Can you get down? I miss you, remember?
Well, no, I was just gonna. So it's so either you're finger fucking someone or you're fucking someone. Right. Straw goes in, wank. Yeah. Right. And I presume some of it is, you're not going to get the whole thing, but presumably it's just trying to get some of it to funnel straight into the vagine.
So it's basically a way of trying to get pregnant, really, isn't it? Because
potentially, yeah. Yeah. Although if you ever had to explain that to your child, yeah. Daddy, where did I come
did
from? Well, little Darren, listen. I spunked into a straw and shoved it up your mother. That's where you came from, my little soldier.
Okay. Well, I went lower than that, but that's still quite... that's just too... There's too much...
It's too much fucking about.
Yeah, just... I mean, I wouldn't be able to, like, hold on for that amount of time and... just a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I agree. But either way, that is the Slurpee. So if you are ever having sex with a geezer and you notice a straw on the bedside cabinet, you are in for a Slurpee.
Know. Nice. Okay. No, okay. I'll look out for that next time.
Thank you. I'm just pre-warning you. Straws on bedside cabinets means Slurpees. Slurpees are incoming.
Are you ready for a story?
Do you know what? I think I'm ready for a story. Is this sure? A story from the Weird and Wonderful Dating News?
It is. And I feel like this one's just going to piss you off, which is why I want to read it out.
I already know the title of it, and I am already pissed off. So yes, please. please explain it to me.
Okay. This one freaked me out a little bit because you know that I'm in the fucking spiritual land of fucking ghosts anyway. So I'm engaged to a ghost, but I'm inundated by living men begging me to dump him, for fuck's sake. Do you know what's pissed me off even more about this as well?
They've enabled her to think that this is normal.
Know that she's from Oxford. So now it's like sort of, usually I pick up Oxfordites, but this is, anyway, here we go. A singer-songwriter from Oxfordshire, maybe I'm just going, I'm from Birmingham, claims to have fallen head over heels in love with the ghost of a long-dead Victorian soldier. Riccardi, 38, says she first met and fell for Eduardo last year after he made a supernatural appearance in her Birmingham home. Things quickly became serious with Eduardo popping the question back in November 2021. He left a diamond ring on her pillow after a lover's tiff. Fuck off. This is really annoying me. Interpreting this as a proposal, Procardi happily accepted, publicly announcing her engagement soon afterwards. However, ever since revealing she's engaged, Riccardi claims she has had to field off a number of messages, around 10,000 to be precise. Is she like an Instagram influencer or something? 10,000 from living men begging her to ditch Eduardo and give them a chance instead. She's been left amused by some of her more imaginative admirers, revealing the messages are hilarious. One guy wanted us to sleep in a coffin. Another collected taxidermy insects, and another's biggest selling point is being alive. I mean, what more could you possibly want? Despite all of her effort, her admirers have gone to, Riccardi claims that she hasn't been tempted by any of the messages she's received so far. However, Eduardo is still said to be furious as she made his feelings on the matter known. I didn't say a word to Eduardo. He is very angry about it, though. When I read the messages, the lights flickered like crazy. The room turned to ice and my phone just went black and died. It wouldn't turn back on for hours, even when I plugged it into the charger. Mysteriously, when the power came back on, several of the messages were in the trash folder. So Eduardo is not amused. Oh, fuck off, honestly.
Right. I'll be honest with you. We've heard this story the first time that she thought she was having sex with Eduardo, I think, on the show.
Oh, is this the same woman?
I presume so. I can't imagine there's many people fucking ghosts. I thought it was fucking ridiculous then. She's taking it to a new level. Listen, firstly, 10,000 or thousands of people, I very much doubt that because she sounds like a fucking absolute Wally. But I don't even know what to say about it.
Do you think he's just trying to be edgy? You know when someone's so boring that they're like, well, what can I do to spice up who I am? I know. I'm
because gonna her personality is dead.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun. Hey. No,
do you think that's listen, what it is? She's just trying to be edgy.
I just think it's fucking ridiculous. Listen, okay. I don't. Do I believe in ghosts? Possibly, yes. Like, it's, I'm not saying that I don't necessarily believe in another form of, well, not life, but spirit. I do.
Okay, so I've got a question for you.
Go on.
What if you were in bed at night, right, and you're just laying there, all comfy, and then you wake up and you feel this lovely sensation around the lower half of your body, and you're like, what is this?
Around my dick.
Around your willy. And then you feel the point that you're, you know, you're like, it feels like someone's on the end of my willy. And it felt like someone was giving you a blowjob.
Sucking me off, yeah.
But there wasn't anyone there. What would you do?
Well, after I'd finished, obviously, because I'd be enjoying it, okay. I wouldn't stop it. I would obviously let it carry on.
So you'd let it carry on, right?
Of course, yeah. Wouldn't freak you out?
the fact that no one's there? Or would you just think you're having a wet dream?
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. A blowjob is good at any time.
Okay, so you
would start my day off lovely. Would I think... Hopefully it wouldn't be Eduardo.
oh, that you now you're adding levels. Yeah.
But would I automatically just assume that was a ghost? No. Would I assume that I have just a heightened sexual experience that maybe is some sort of wet, dreamy type thing? Probably just that, yeah.
Right, okay.
I wouldn't then go, oh, I wonder what her name is, and then go, oh, do you know what? I'm actually having sex with a ghost called Mandy.
So this is the difference between you and Bacardi then. This is you kind of just sort of summed it up as you just having a wet dream and she thinks it's a ghost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Next.
Do you want another story?
Yeah.
Now this one pisses me off as well.
Okay. I love you, angry. Don't ever change. Just be grumpy and fucking moody all the time.
I can't help it. I tried to be happy for a few hours last week and it was a struggle and it felt very uncomfortable. Right, so girlfriend slammed for forbidding partner to cuddle his dog when she's around. A man who owns his own house and has a 2-year-old Catahoula dog invited his girlfriend to move in with him 9 months ago after their relationship was going strong. I already know the confused look on your face is what is a Catahoula dog?
I'm just thinking, do I Google it? Go on.
Catahoula is like a Australian cattle dog. I don't know if they're necessarily Australian, Catahoula. But it's like a cattle dog. They are like a merle-coloured shepherd
dog. Okay, fine. Carry on. Yeah.
His girlfriend used to cuddle up with his rescue dog in bed and on the sofa frequently, something which he loved about her as he was a dog lover himself. Unfortunately, as soon as she got her own key to the house, she changed her tune. He explained, my dog isn't allowed even temporarily on the bed anymore. If my girlfriend is on the sofa, the dog is forbidden to be on it. He explained, denying it has anything to do with dog hair, allergies or traumatic previous experiences. The man says it just doesn't understand why his girlfriend's sudden change in attitude doesn't understand why she's basically a knob. Hey. He said that his dog is well behaved and the best pal he could ask for. Love that. Having dreamt about spending a lazy afternoon watching a movie with his girlfriend and dog on the sofa, the man has questioned how he can get his partner to warm up to the idea. He added, it's a simple, harmless joy that is really selfishly important to me. They are my family and it's the best thing in the world to me. However, my girlfriend won't allow this ever, never, ever forbidden. The man has tried to explain to his girlfriend how he feels about this issue, but says their chat soon turned into a heated argument. If the dog is cuddling with me on the couch watching a show on TV, my girlfriend leaves the room or it becomes an argument and I lose my shit because I feel like this is such a trivial, pathetic issue. She denies jealousy, but I think it's a bit of jealousy and selfishness on her behalf. Get rid of her.
So, wow. Hold the phone. Hold
on. Dump her.
This is an interesting one because...
Dump her! Get rid of her! No!
Anything else?
Get rid of her!
I'm sure.
Dump her!
I'm just going to give my little 2 pence. Yes, fuck off. fuck off, literally. But the one thing I will say, so I've been in a situation where the dog was the priority.
Dump her.
And this was made very clear after the relationship ended. He actually said, yes, the priority is me, the dog, my job, and then you. And so I was like, oh, so there's me thinking that fuck me, you know, I feel like I'm jealous of a fucking dog. But after the conversation and the breakdown of the relationship, I learned actually I was the bottom of the pile. So maybe he needs to put her, maybe he needs to prioritize her. She doesn't feel like a priority. There is something a little bit weird about it as well, but I think you can get through it. But is she, where is she, where does she sit on that pecking order? Because she should be before the dog. Pete, listen, when you get your little wife, she needs to be before the dog.
No. Yes. No, absolutely not. Yes. I completely and utterly disagree with that. My dogs are my children. This is their house. They can do exactly what they want. This is his house, the dog's house. Now, I don't think that she should be below the dogs, but they should be on par. She needs to accept that he has a dog who he loves very much. She was quite happy to do it before.
That's the weird part. When
quite happy to do it before she moved in. So it's almost like she was trying to impress him by being all nice to the dog, got a foot in the door, and then went, nah, fuck the dog. Nah.
Yeah, that's where it goes.
And also, and not even just that, for the dog, the fact that she's done all of that before and has then suddenly changed the tune is very hard to explain to a dog. Now, if she was like this from the beginning, it was his choice whether or not it went further, and you can set boundaries and whatever else. The fact that she's already done that makes it very, very difficult. I don't think that she should be above the dog. I don't think anyone should be above a dog. I think they should be on the level, because you're all supposed to be part of a working team and a pack. So you should all be harmonious. But she sounds like a cock, so dump her.
Maybe if I had my own dogs, I'd feel differently, but because I've been on the other side of it, it does feel a bit shit when you're like, that dog is literally the priority.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's agree to disagree.
No, let's agree to agree with me.
No, the dog should not be, come on. Like, the dog is not going to be fucking...
Listen, he can find time to spend time with her and make her feel loved and wanted and cherished and all that sort of stuff. But listen...
Maybe he's not doing that. Maybe he needs to step it up and give her as much love as he gives the dog. If he's giving the dog more love and they're meant to be a priority, then, you know, no wonder she's a bit like, hello, do you want to fucking shag me instead of shag the dog?
Exactly. You know? And listen, people disagree with this because people go, oh, it's just a dog. Well, it's not. It's not just a dog for me, and it's not just a dog for some people. They are not pets. They are part of the family. So she needs to accept his family arrangement. They need to come to some sort of compromise about it, surely. But you can't just forbid someone.
I think they need a third person to mediate it. I don't think it's going to get resolved between them.
I think she just needs to fuck off and find someone without a dog, and he needs to find a dog-loving woman of his dreams.
Yeah, but I'm a dog-loving woman of someone's dreams, and I was at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, but listen, and I agree, maybe if that is the case, but... But you don't forbid someone to cuddle their dog. It's fucking...
No, I mean, maybe he's saying that for dramatic effect. Do you know what? Should we get on the show? Can be the therapist. No, all right, okay. Should we just move on then?
Yeah, we have enough people on the show.
Well, actually, our topic is it fits in nicely to this because it's support.
And she's not supporting him, the bitch.
Fuck you now. Agree to disagree. Okay, support.
Agree with me.
So, seeing as you've had loads of relationships.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Do you feel like there has ever been a time where maybe you could have stepped up the support or you haven't supported someone and afterwards, upon reflection, thought, yeah. You're willing to share with all of our followers?
I'm always willing to share. You know me. Yeah. Yeah, if I'm honest, yeah, probably. I would consider myself quite a supportive person with the majority of people around me. A lot of people rely on me for different things, and I'm okay with that, and I quite like that because it sort of gives me a purpose in life. But I do think there have been times where I probably haven't given as much support as I needed to with people. Through being selfish, through not knowing what to do, through all sorts of things. I think it's a bit of a tough one, really, because it's, I think sometimes you don't realize you're not necessarily giving the support that someone needs until afterwards. And that's the kind of beautiful thing of hindsight. Do you know what I mean? If you know you're not giving support, then you would give it, I think, if you're a good person. But sometimes it's not knowing how to give support or what sort of support someone needs. And especially if someone's going through something quite traumatic or going through a really, really tough time, sometimes their reactions to stuff make you think, oh, that's the wrong type of support, but that is actually what they need. They're just, you know, taking it out on you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I'm definitely guilty of that, I would say. What about yourself? Has there been a time, let's flip it, has there been a time when you have needed support and not got it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I was very close to sort of being, probably the closest I've got to maybe like actually like being engaged. And this, something happened and yeah, the support was needed and it was such a test on the relationship. And I wouldn't say we failed. We failed we didn't support each other and he didn't. Yeah, I don't want to blame it all on him. But yeah, I think that when the test comes, you really, really get to see somebody's true colors. And then it's really interesting. I'm just thinking of this all on the spot. But then I got into a relationship with someone else and something similar happened. And seeing that person fucking step up to the plate when I didn't even need to ask or say a thing. They just knew how to be present with me. And that's sometimes support is literally that. It's just being present. You don't need to give, I think we're trying to find the right answer. Like, oh, what do I need to say? I need to say the best thing. No, sometimes it's just being a hug. It's just being that person that you know that you can just wrap up with someone and they've got you and they've got your back, literally got your back. That support looks, you know, it's different. It looks different for everybody, but there's no right way of doing it, but it can ruin a relationship. And so we're going back to the first one that ruined our relationship. It was my answer. It's all I needed. I was like, shit, God, if we go through something else tough, we will not pass.
Do you know what? I don't, obviously, when something happens, whether it's traumatic, emotional, whatever it may be, something big, which is at the time that everyone considers you to need support. But sometimes I think support is also just on a daily basis, just being there for someone, you know, asking how someone's day is.
How's your day?
Telling them you're proud of them or whatever it may be, whatever happens that day. I think that ongoing support is just as important as well, not just when shit hits the fan, which is, I think, is a lot of the time when people kind of step up. They do fuck all for the majority of the time and then something happens and then suddenly they're there. That's great, but also ongoing support, I think, is really important as well.
I think that can actually be quite a nice experience though, because you don't know what that person, like, especially like you said, you're the supporter. I'm generally the supporter as well. So sometimes people don't know how to support me because I'm like, oh, I've got it. I've nailed it. It's fine. I figured it out. Like I've just figured it out before they've even had a chance. But you know, sometimes this shit does hit the fan and you do need that person. So like I sometimes love being in a position where I'm able to show like I've got a little bit more. I'm able to step up because I care so much in a relationship that I want to give them that extra, that additional kind of support.
How important is it for someone to be supportive?
Oh, it's what I would. Yeah, it's on the list, you know, of what I'm looking for. They have to be able to do that. Yeah. But if someone said, well, how does that look to me? I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be able to say, well, I just need you to support me in this way. Maybe in the moment I'd say, but it's like I said before, it's about just knowing someone's there, knowing that they're going to answer the phone, knowing that, you know, if you need to turn up at 3 a.m. because something's happened, they're there. God, yeah, I've had some fucking lovely boyfriends. I'll tell you what, some of them really do know, and I've had some really shit ones as well. But it's instinctive. Instinctive, yeah.
Yeah. See, I think I'm probably a very, very hard person to support.
I think you are. Just from a friend's perspective, like I think you are. Yeah, you're like you've got it. Do you know what I mean? You're like, no,
yeah.
Shut down.
Yeah, which is very, very detrimental to a relationship. Because, you know, I've been seeing people or whatever else that have wanted to support me in different things because maybe they've known that, you know, I was struggling the same and I won't allow people to do that, which is also not supportive on my behalf, because some people want it, they want to be lit in and they want to help and they want to be else, but it's very hard to support someone that doesn't want the support or thinks that they don't deserve it or thinks that they don't want to burden other people with their shit. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about giving support. I think it's about, you know, accepting support as well. And that's something that I have to change in my life, is that I will not accept support from people.
So do you think you don't deserve help?
No, I don't think I do sometimes. And I think I've always dealt with everything myself, and I always, I would rather just be there for someone else. I don't think anyone needs to be there. Everyone's got their own struggles and shit in life, and mine aren't important enough for me to want to burden anyone else with. I would rather help someone else through something than have to give them any of my shit.
Oh, I wish I was sat with you now. I'd give you a big hug.
Why?
Because you are important. Everything about you is important. Like the stuff, like I know little nuggets of things that are going on for you, and they're big fucking shit. You know, it's not minor, but you just put on the brave face so everyone thinks that you don't need support.
I don't, I'm fine.
You know, smile through it. But anyway, I'm not going to embarrass you, but.
But I would
give you a big hug if I was next to you, though. Just know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that and I love that. But I think support's completely, it's a two-way thing, because I think it's very hard for someone if they're trying to support someone and someone is not giving that or not allowing them to do that. I think that's also, you know, it's as detrimental as someone not supporting someone enough.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that's
my experience on because obviously I've not been in a lot of relationships, so I can't. So that's my experience of it. Does that make sense?
No, you're bang on. I think, especially as a woman, so when, say, a woman has got her shit together, right? So, you know, you can financially support yourself. You've got a good job. You know how to speak to people. Like, everything's sorted. You paid your bills. You painted your wall. Like, a guy needs to see where... No, but do you know what I mean? Like, a guy needs to see where he can fit in, right? So a woman, you know, we might be able to play the nurturing side of something, because a guy can't nurture himself. Whereas a woman, you know, we literally do not have as much strength as a man. So putting up that wardrobe, I've done it all. Like, I've sorted the flat, I've done everything. So sometimes men don't know how to step in. They don't know how to support me, because I've just already done it. And sometimes when you give a little bit, you give someone something to be able to help, you give a little, what's the word? There's a name they use in like therapy. I can't fucking think what it is. Anyway, you give them almost like a shot, and then they fucking smash it. You're like, wow. And it just brings you close together. You remember when we had Paul on, and he said, fucking love him. And he said, people get married too quickly because they haven't been through something. He said, everyone should wait 2 years, because usually in 2 years, something fucking shit happens. And then you get to see, boom, has my partner stepped up?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We do love Paul, don't we? Paul Carrick-Brunson, for anyone wondering who Paul is and missed that episode.
I think we should get our guest on now to talk about support, because she has been through what sounds like lots. I'm not even going to try and explain. I think it would be better coming from her. So Abby Quinnan is actually, she's the girlfriend of AJ Pritchard. He's a professional dancer. She is a model, actress and singer. And the pair met 3 years ago when AJ was doing a show called Get on the Dance Floor Live. So let's bring Abby on and talk to her. Maybe she can change Pete's view on dogs and support and who should be in the pecking order.
Ooh. Sorry, I'm stroking myself because I'm covered in dog hair.
You crack on. Hello, lovely. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. We are talking about a lovely subject of support, and we feel like you might be able to help us, because Pete and I are still single and we're still talking about relationships that we're not in. So before we do that, we would love to play a little game with you, some quick fire questions. So just immediate response to these. So Pete, do you want to kick us off?
Date night in or date night out?
Date night out.
Kissing or cuddling?
Cuddling.
Giving or receiving gifts?
Giving.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Whose opinion is more important, friends or family?
Family.
PDA or stay away?
Stay away.
Dating several people at once or one at a time?
One at a time.
And this one, actually, I don't really need to ask because you are in a relationship. Dream job or dream partner?
Dream partner.
Oh, that's cute. And single or taken's the last one, but we know you're with AJ.
Yeah, taken.
3 years?
Yeah, nearly 3 years in April, actually.
That's 3 years longer than my longest relationship.
Oh, dear. I think you need help.
Uncle, fucking trust me. Trust me. Not just dating help either. So this week's topic is support. So Cece and I have just been discussing it really, really briefly. You've got a bit of a story, haven't you?
Yeah. So basically I was in a horrific accident where, AJ was trying to do like a YouTube tutorial for, it was like during lockdown and everyone was trying to do life hacks and stuff. We was filming lots of like YouTube videos and stuff. And it was like a viral YouTube stunt where basically you turn a wine bottle into a vase to put flowers in it. And then it just went horribly wrong. As soon as he like lit a piece of rope, the rope blew up and the glass smashed and like the fire flew across the room and caught my hair and I was literally up in flames.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was so awful. I had to like roll on the floor. I went straight to hospital. I was in hospital for a week and I've had 3 operations since, basically.
Wow. Okay, so I've got so many questions. So were you conscious? Did you go into a state of unconscious or anything? Or
no, I was conscious the whole time. And the weird thing is that I didn't really feel anything. Like, I didn't feel like it was hurting or anything. It was just immediately I was thinking, how can I get myself out of this situation? So I was like just rolling on the floor and I grabbed a blanket and managed to like put the fire out. But it did take
What was AJ doing while you were rolling?
I can't remember, but I think he was in shock as well. And he was trying to fill up like a bucket of water to throw over me. But I think by the time I managed to get the fire out, but then he ran over and threw like water over me.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably after the accident, like you said, you were in hospital for a week and you've had a number of operations since, which has presumably been quite tough on you, not just physically, but emotionally as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was awful. I was struggling so bad. I was on 27 tablets a day. So most of the time, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just drugged up. And AJ just kept saying, like, I wasn't making any sense. And he was literally feeding me and putting the tablets in my mouth. Like, he was so incredible. I don't know how I would have done it without him. And he was, like, just trying to tell me that everything was going to be okay and that he would still love me, even if I did have, like, forever scars. Because I didn't know how bad it was going to be. Like, my face didn't look like me. I literally looked like an ogre. It was awful.
Was there a point where you were like, oh, my God, I don't want him to see me? Like, did he just see it from start to finish?
Yeah, so because of I was in hospital for a week and it was during COVID, no one was actually allowed to come and see me. But for me, I didn't want anyone to come and see me because of the way that I looked. Like, I was dreading the time that AJ came to pick me up. And I do know that they did tell him like he could come up and see me, but I just told him like I didn't want him to see me because I felt and looked horrific. And I just really didn't, I knew that he'd get so upset if he did see what I looked like.
What did you have, like scars? I mean, well, burns on your face at all?
Yeah, so I had lots of burns on my face. I literally, my right side of my face blew up and I couldn't see out of my eye. At all. And because with burns they like bandage you up, so I literally had like bandages all over my head, all like from all of the bottom of my arms to like the waist. Like, I literally looked like a mummy, and I was like that for I would say a few months for sure.
So when you came out of hospital, did you were you living with AJ at the time?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
So did you move straight back in with AJ?
Yeah, he was adamant that he wanted a bring me back to his flat and to like take care of me, because I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go home and be with my family or whether I was going to go back with AJ. But he literally wouldn't let me go back to my family home. He was desperate just to, he knew that he could give me like the perfect care. He's so like OCD. So he's like the perfect carer basically, because everywhere has to be spotless. He will make sure he's got timers on every time I need like my wounds cleaning and what tablets I need. Like, he's a bit of a freak really.
I have spent a bit of time with AJ before doing something, and yeah, I completely agree with that. He's a bit,
bit mental.
A bit weird about that, but like you say, the perfect person to look after.
Exactly.
Someone. So since the accident and since AJ, obviously, you know, doing all this for you and you know, supporting you as much as you did, has that kind of changed your relationship? Is it, because presumably it was the first time, other than COVID, which is a big test for a lot of relationships, and the pandemic and having to move in with people, in 2 years, this is probably the biggest thing that kind of happened to test your relationship. So the support that he gave you, did that make you presumably now stronger? Was it something that you expected?
Absolutely. I mean, it's brought us so much closer together now. I literally rely on him for everything. He's just so incredible, and I love him so much. And yeah, he's just been amazing. He's literally like my rock.
Oh. And how was it like before that? Were you, you know, like how long had you been together before this happened?
Probably like just under 2 years.
Oh, so you were quite far into the relationship anyway. So was this like the biggest test that you two have had in those first 2 years?
Definitely. But I also think because the first year 100% was AJ was on Strictly, so it was really, really difficult to actually see him because he was rehearsing the whole time and he was always practicing with his partner and they go on different tours and stuff. So I feel like in the first year I didn't get to know him so well, whereas mm-hmm. when we because he was constantly working, whereas when we got into lockdown, that's when I actually like I feel like we started to bond really well. And then obviously the accident happened and that just brought us so much closer.
Mm. So you were playing the support role then, I guess, when he was doing Strictly. Like, you both had your balance, because I mean, you've got to be a really supportive partner during that process. We all know what that show, you know, like there's the what people say happens on it. So
yeah,
that, did you feel like you've had your chance to sort of show like this is what I look like when I'm showing support?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like when he was with Saffron, his dance partner during Strictly, like every Sunday I would get to see him. I would probably only get to see him like once a week, and I would help him like choreograph the numbers because we're both dancers, so that he would go in and teach Saffron on the Monday. Mm-hmm. The only time we would see each other was when we were like trying to create a new dance for the next week or something for Strictly. So yeah, he did. I was like I really supported him when he was in Strictly, but it was extremely hard. Like, they just wanted Saffron and AJ together, like all the tabloids. Yeah. That's all they wanted. And it was really difficult.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Like, have check-ins? Like, how did you get through that? Cause that is tough. Like, that's really testing. Like, what did you two have an agreement beforehand? How did you manage that process?
It was really, really early on our relationship. So I felt like I didn't want to be too needy, and I didn't want to be like, is this real? Is this happening? Because I felt like, I don't know, I just felt a bit awkward because it was so soon. But he was quite reassuring. He's just like, I don't know, because I'm his first girlfriend. I feel like at the beginning, he didn't really know what to do with a girlfriend or to tell them or to reassure them. Whereas now he's changed so much and he is like an amazing, reassuring boyfriend. But at the beginning, I did find it extremely hard because he just didn't really know what to do with me. Like he would call me every night, but we wouldn't talk about like anything that everyone else was talking about or anything. It was just like what we'd done during the day or how rehearsals were going.
So you weren't living together then?
No, we wasn't, no.
So what do you think in terms of, you know, because we going back to Paul again, we had a guy called Paul Carrick-Brunson, who's like a life coach, dating coach, on the show a long, long time ago. And he said a lot of people rush into their relationships. And he said normally, within the first couple of years of relationship, you should wait a couple of years before you rush into, you know, marriage and engagements and all that sort of stuff. And too many people do it too quick, but they don't actually know what the person's going to be like until something big happens. Are you surprised at how supportive AJ was, or did you already know that about him before what happened to you happened?
No, I was extremely surprised. I didn't. Yeah, I did know that he loved me, but I didn't realize like how much he loved me and how much he wanted to care for me and make everything perfect. Like, he even comes to like every doctor's appointment that I have, and he'll ask them like a million questions. He would have done like all his research, like looked into everything, and he'll ask him and be like, "Oh, what about this?
So
can we try this next?"
So lovely.
Sorry, go on, babe.
No, I just said it's lovely. That's all.
So in terms of as horrible as the accident is, and you know what happened to you is like a horrific thing that you would never wish on anyone, do you think it kind of helps you to establish how you and AJ feel about each other by, you know, going through something so horrific? It kind of gave you an opportunity to see, fuck, this guy really loves me and what an amazing guy he is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it gave you a bit of an insight into what he's like as a person going through something like that.
Definitely. It gave me a realization about how much he does love me and how much we are meant to be together. So hopefully it will be forever.
You two make me feel fucking sick.
I think it's a test on both, because when someone goes through something, like, you have a choice, right? You have a choice to step up or step to the side or step back.
Fight or flight, innit?
Yeah. And he's obviously stepped up because he did, like you said, you knew he loved you. You just didn't know how much. And maybe he didn't know how much he loved you until he saw you going through something and felt this need to, you know, to support and help. I mean, I'm talking from experience of dating people, you know, when they go through stuff, and sometimes you just don't want to help because you don't care enough, because you know that person's going to be your future. Sounds really mean, but it's just how you feel about that person. Clearly, seeing you in pain triggered that for him to, you know, you've been together how long now? How long has it been?
3 years in April, yeah.
3 years. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
So you said hopefully forever then. Does that mean that there's potentially an engagement on the cards?
I think you're going to have to ask him, Pete.
Where is he?
He's upstairs.
Oh, is he upstairs? Okay. Well, listen, honestly, thank you for sharing your story, because...
no worries.
You know, that is everything's all right now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, all is good. I'm seeing my surgeon this month, actually, so she'll basically say whether I need another operation or what's kind of coming next, so... Yeah.
Okay, well, fingers crossed for you. Thank God you've got AJ. You're lucky you didn't end up with a wanker like me. So what we're going to do now then, I think you know about this, we're going to play a little game.
Yeah.
So we're going to play the Love the Way You Lie game, which we play every week. So you're going to tell us three stories.
Yeah.
Two of which are true and one of which is a liar. And we've got to try and guess which one is the liar. Now, Cece is notoriously fucking great at this game. And I'm notoriously terrible because I just believe what everyone tells me.
Okay.
So hit us with your three stories.
Okay. So my ex-boyfriend went to LA and he told me 2 days before, and he didn't take me with him. So I didn't speak to him for 2 weeks because I was so angry.
He told you 2 days before that he was going to LA. Okay. Okay.
And he didn't take me with him.
Fine. So the first one is boyfriend fucks off to LA.
Yeah. Number two, I was seeing a guy. I was staying at his house and he filmed me doing, what's the thing you do on the next day? Walk of shame. He filmed me doing the walk of shame and put it on Instagram and tagged me in it.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's deep. Fucking
so first one, boyfriend fucks off to LA. Second one, walk of shame. Third one,
it was like new in the relationship and we went on our third night out. I got so drunk. I think I got spiked and we got a taxi home and I was being sick in his hands and he was throwing it out the window.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that sounds like a Tuesday night for CC. So, first one, boyfriend fucks off to LA. Second one, filmed walk of shame. Third one, sick in hands out of window.
Yeah.
Okay, so, CC, you got one question for each one. Any questions?
Question. So, first question, how long were you with this guy, the LA one?
The what, sorry?
The one that went to LA. How long were you with
LA?
Him?
LA. Oh, yeah. three years.
Fucking hell. Okay, Pete, question for number one.
Did you stay with him? How long were you with him after that?
Oh, I was still with him for like at least 6 months.
Okay. I want to ask more questions on that one, but I can't. No, all right.
Not allowed.
Next.
Walk of shame. Fuck, this is a good one. I hope it's true. I've got no questions, actually, on number two.
Walk of shame. Did you ever see him again?
I will see him again.
You will see him again?
No. No, I won't see him again. I never saw him again.
Okay. Oh, I want to ask loads of questions now.
I've got a question because I didn't ask it.
Go on.
So, Harry, you said you will see him again. Does that mean you know him?
Maybe.
As in, like, okay.
Oh, I really, if this is AJ.
Oh,
all right. Third question. Did he
hit? Right.
And then it. Oh no, I can't. Oh, I can't ask that question.
Why?
Did you say he was throwing it out the window?
Yeah. So he was catching my stick and throwing it out the window.
Out of the taxi. What was the taxi driver doing at this point?
We got kicked out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You are either a really good liar or this, or these, I want them all to be true. I want you to say, guys, I've stitched you up. I feel like the third one would be AJ because of how supportive he is. I think he'd be that supportive where he would catch your sick.
So you think that's true?
Wow, hang on, let me just think about this. So we've got Walk of Shame.
Oh. I think number three is the liar.
I was going to go three is the liar as well.
Abby, I don't know what it is. I don't know you very well, but I just can't imagine. I can't imagine you being sick.
I can.
I'm sure you are at some point, but I just can't imagine.
Everyone's sick.
I just can't imagine it. I don't want to imagine it either, but I think number three is the liar.
I'm going to go with, what should I go with? I'm going to wild. I don't actually know on this one. I don't have a gut feeling. So I'm going to go with number one. One's the lie.
Okay. So put us out of our misery. Who is right? Me or CC or neither of us?
Neither of you are right.
Well, number two is the lie.
Number two is the lie, but it's actually about my friend. It's not about me.
You will see the guy again because you know who the guy is.
Yes.
Oh, but it wasn't you. It happened to... Oh, fucking... You're good, you know.
But you're really good. And was the sick AJ then?
No, it wasn't actually. It was an ex-boyfriend.
Very caring ex-boyfriend. And Mr. LA, fuck him, firstly.
Exactly.
Why didn't he... Why?
Why was he going to LA? Was it work?
Yeah.
To see a friend.
Oh, so it wasn't even... It wasn't like he got like a last-minute job and he just had to go to LA?
Yeah, he just went to see a friend. Yeah.
Oh, what a wanker. Much.
I know, right?
Yeah, what a wanker.
Yeah.
I thought we might have just gone out there for work, in which case... All right, well,
okay.
Listen, thank you ever so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. We are also not bitter at all that you are in a fabulous relationship and really happy and probably going to get married and live happily ever after. How do you say it? Happily.
Happily.
I didn't say the word. He's so unhappy.
I'm so angry and bitter about it. I can't even say happy. But yeah, thank you so much. You've been a superstar.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, my love.
So lovely to see you. Thank you.
Bye bye. Tell AJ hello.
I will do.
Bye bye.
See ya.
Bye. She's been for a lot, hasn't she? Fucking hell.
She has. Really cute. AJ, cute guy as well. So really cute couple. It's not often that we speak to people who I genuinely think are in love.
No, and also I just have to commend her on her positivity after going through something like that. She's just, you know, she's just carrying on, cracking on. I think that really does say a lot about her personality. Good for her. Yeah.
Rock the fuck on.
Rock the fuck on. What are we doing now? Is it our favourite bit?
Do you know what, guys? You are listening to the dating show on FUBAR Radio, and we are coming towards the end of today's show. But before we do, it is our favourite time. We are going to do listeners' questions and stories, and this week we've got two. We've got
Bridget Bradley.
Bridget and Bradley.
What's the deal with them not leaving voice notes anymore? Do they just can't be asked?
Yeah, people have just stopped leaving us voice notes. So if you are going to send in anything for listeners' questions and stories, you want to tell us a story or you want to ask us a question, then email thedatingshow@foobarradio.com. We would love to have some voice notes.
You know, I think they don't. It's because we take the piss out of everyone's voice every week.
We first guess where they're from, get it wrong,
and then rip them to pieces when they're not from where we want them to be from.
Yeah, so we shouldn't do
okay.
that.
Okay, do you know what? Fuck it then. Wow, I guess where Bridget's from.
All right, well, I think Bridget is from Scunthorpe.
I think Bridget is from Bangor.
I've just... Okay, excellent.
All right. Pete has been to Bangor.
I've just been to Bangor.
I wasn't lying when I said it is known to be the ugliest city in England. That's truth.
I mean, that is not a nice thing for a city to be called. I will admit that they're... Well, do they?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Your family live in Bangor.
They flew from South Africa and chose to move to Bangor.
I mean, yeah. I was recently there. Don't get me wrong. There were some delightful, beautiful people in Bangor, but the majority of them did look like a bulldog chewing a toffee. I joke.
So, Bridget, are you from Bangor? So, dating story number one. I had been single for several months, when my friends thought it would be nice to take me to a party where a single friend of theirs would be. We were introduced, but after a while, it was clear that there was no spark between us. Later on, I asked my friends who the handsome man at the end of the garden was. It turned out his name was Darren, and it was his party at his house. As I was leaving to walk home, he was sat on the doorstep. So I took a chance and asked if he would like to go for a drink. 2 days later, we did. After 4 months, we moved in together. He proposed after 6 months, and now we've been married for 25 years and have two wonderful children. So I was set up on sort of a blind date, but ended up married to the man's friend instead. Fuck, I love a story like that.
Bridget, that sounds delightful. I'm very happy that you got your fairy tale.
That's really nice.
But listen, Good. Do you know what that is? Because there's not much you can say about that, because that's just a lovely story. But do you know what that is? That is so I took my chance and asked if he'd like to go for a drink. This is why you always need to take your chances, guys.
Step outside
your comfort zone and fucking go, because you never know. You might meet your Darren, who you're going to marry for 25 years, have two wonderful kids with, hopefully not her Darren, because if you do that, then, you know, that means, you know, it's a bit dodgy. But find your own Darren, not someone
else. Find your own Darren.
But yeah, take your chances, because you never know what might happen. Love that, Bridget. Love that. Love you. I hope all is good in Bangor. next up, we've got Bradley, all the bees today. So, love this one.
Oh, God.
Bradley has got a question for us, CC, and I cannot wait for your answer. What is the best way to get a threesome with my girlfriend and someone else? I don't know how to bring up the subject, and I'm scared she'll run a mile.
Oh, Bradley, fucking hell. I mean, right, so...
Oh, settling kids.
There's lots of different there's different elements to this. Firstly, like, every couple has their own thing. You know, some people are really for it, some people are really against it. It also, do you really care about this person? And if she's really against it, then just fucking get this idea out of your head. Like, this is why I always think it's good to have your 20s or whatever, your teens, whatever, shag around, do what you need to, get your shit out of your system. Because when you're in a serious relationship, you can't have both. You can still be playful and have fun, but there are certain things that are just crossing the line. So, Bradley, what do you really want? Do you want to be in a relationship? If you know your girlfriend's going to run a mile, well, if you think that, she probably will. Do you want to be with her? If so, then you can't have a threesome. Fucking hell. That's my answer.
Listen, every couple is different and every couple likes different things. My initial thing based on that question is probably not for her, because if you're scared she'll run a mile, that means that you should roughly have an idea of what she's like and what your relationship is and what your boundaries already are. So if you think this is something that's going to make her run a mile, then it probably isn't the thing for her. Whereas if you are in quite an open relationship, not an open relationship, but you're in quite a relationship where you both enjoy similar sort of things, then there is no reason why she'd run a mile. You know what I mean?
Agreed, yeah.
So I think it's just about read the room. And if you think it's something that is going to make her run a mile, then it's probably not the right thing for her. It depends what she's like and what your relationship's like, really, mate. I don't think there is a specific way to ask that. It's just know that if you are going to ask that, then
you might.
Will be consequences for that.
Yeah.
Now, the consequences could be, listen, every action has a reaction. The consequences could be that she is bang up for it, or she could be offended by that, and that will change the dynamic of your relationship because she will then think that actually you want to fuck other people, and then that causes a load of problems. So I think it's more about judging the relationship you have, and it's very hard to give you a way to ask that question without knowing the relationship.
And what I will
does that
say,
make sense?
It totally does. And also remember also, Bradley, I mean, I don't know how old you are. I've sort of got it in my head that you're a bit younger. But once you've built that trust, you can actually have, your relationship can change, but you have to get to the point where your relationship has been built first. So if I was asked 3 months into a relationship to have a threesome and I wasn't up for it, I would probably run a mile and just think, oh God, this creep. But if I'm 5 years into it and we want to build up or spice up our sex life and that question pops up, I wouldn't feel I'd feel differently about it because the trust is there. So like Pete said, knowing your boundaries and, you know, have you set boundaries? Has your girlfriend set boundaries? Discuss. Conversation, communication, same shit every fucking week.
But also, I think more than that, it's you need to work out why you want to have the threesome.
That's what I mean. Why? Do you got shit to get out of your system?
Yeah. Is it just because you... Well, listen, it's obvious the kind of reasons why that could be something you want. But yeah, so work out what you want and work out whether or not... it's potentially worth risking a relationship for.
Also, Bradley, do you know what? Everyone I've spoken to who's had a threesome has always said it's been a bit shit and it's all about the hype of it anyway. So if you've never had one before, maybe you don't need to. Just saying. Apart from Pete Wicks, who's looking at me very weird now. Pete Wicks has had amazing threesomes.
thank you, Bradley. I hope that's helped. Listen, everyone, you are listening to The Dating Show, as you have been for the past hour. We are now coming to a close. We are now fucking done for the day. But we would love it if you sent in your stories and questions to The Dating Show at foodbarradio.com.
Leave us a voice note.
Leave us a voice note, or just send in advice, whatever, or not advice. Well, actually, no, we could do it for some advice.
We could do.
Do you know what? I've got a question.
There we go.
To give Cece and I some advice yourselves, listeners, what advice would you give us? We are both still single, so what advice would you give us? And I cannot wait to fucking hear that. So if you want to give us some advice on our lives, then send it to thedatingshow@foobarradio.com and put the subject as... And put the subject as turning the tables.
I don't know. Okay, I did ignore what Pete just said. I don't want advice.
Well, I fucking want it.
Because everyone thinks that when you're single that you want to be in a relationship. They can't accept that you are happy being single. And when you say, I'm happy being single, they then try and find a problem in you and resolve your problem that's not even there.
Completely agree. But I didn't say that it had to be dating advice. Maybe they want to give us some advice on the fact that you need to, come home. Or maybe I need some advice to stop swearing or shave my beard or actually wash your hair for once. Or, okay. I don't know.
All right, I accept. You know what? I'll take it.
Give us some advice. Give us some fucking advice. We dish it out, so let's take it back for once. Okay. Life is all about give and take. You can also check us out on the home, the HQ, the hub of everything, the dating show, which is the dating underscore show on Instagram. So keep up to date with what we're doing on there. And send us some advice. Send us your stories. Do whatever you fucking want to do. Keep in touch. We love it. We don't have a lot of friends. You are our only kind of friends.
Fucking do.
And that would be great. I don't know why I haven't stopped speaking for 2 minutes. Literally, I haven't taken a breath, but now I'm done. Ta-da. Do you wanna?
No, you did it again. It said so perfectly. I'm just gonna let you.
Well, no, let's just listen
to Pete pant. We're just gonna listen to him pant because he hasn't taken a breath for 4 hours. No, that is it. I was gonna namaste you, but I feel like I've namaste the shit out of life at the moment. I'm just going to say goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you, Pete. God bless you. Thank you for being you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Always turn up as you. Never turn up as anyone else. Always put your foot forward.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just say thanks. Cheers.
Okay.